This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, with the first in a series of conversations with Central Virginia bloggers. This installment is supported by dailyprogress.com. Catch up on the latest happenings in Central Virginia at dailyprogress.com. As you may know, prominent and prolific blogger Waldo Jaquith has seeded the area with many blogs, with his aggregator at seavilleblogs.com encouraging many to write about their lives, their pastimes, and their cultures. There are dozens of blogs, some of which concentrate on a particular theme. To kick off this series, I decided to check in on the producers of eatair.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to vegan cooking. Eat Air is run by Chris and Darlene Bruce, a couple who I spoke with on Easter Sunday. They began the blog about 6 months ago to help spread awareness of vegan cooking. I began the conversation by asking Chris to define vegan.
A vegan is essentially someone who avoids all animal products. So no meat, no dairy, no eggs in what you eat. That's sort of the main idea.
A lot of people might hear that and say, wow, you're really restricting yourself quite a lot. What would your response be to that?
I feel like I gain a lot more than what I give up. And to me, we've been doing it for a long time now. And there's so much great food in the vegetable area that I really don't feel like I'm giving anything up. It's been a slow transition over the last, I'd say, maybe 12 years. So we were vegetarian for a while.
Kind of what got us started on the transition from being vegetarian to being vegan was going to see Eric Marcus speak. And I think that was in 1999. And he's a pretty well-known vegan activist. He's written a couple of books now. And he just kind of really drove home the point that, if you're interested in the ethical aspect of what you eat, and for health and environmental reasons too, there's just as many issues. In fact, for the ethical aspect of it, there's probably more issues sometimes with like egg and dairy production than there are with meat production.
So a lot of things I didn't realize with the dairy industry and other things that I came out of there thinking, I'm not sure if I want to support that, and that, it would be good for us to make that transition to trying to be vegan. And
what are some of the things that you do eat to replace what you might have given up? I mean, I suppose that the biggest issue, of course, in terms of our diet needs is protein. What replaces the animal sources of protein that you would have been eating before?
Well, first of all, I don't really think of it as replacing meat or dairy or whatever. And there are plenty of protein sources in the vegetable kingdom. That is a question that we get quite often. And that's kind of one of the reasons that we wanted to start the blog, is to kind of to share and show people what we eat and that it's all good food. As far as protein, nuts and beans and tofu, and there's a lot of protein sources in the vegetable kingdom.
So it's not all just tofu, because a lot of people are scared of tofu.
Oh, definitely not. We do, Chris even makes his own seitan, and it's really good. And especially over the last 10 years, there's been so many different alternatives for protein sources that it's become easier and easier. And even if you don't want to cook at home all the time, there's so much convenience food that's available there too. So definitely.
Well, let's stick with that seitan for a second. I don't know what that is.
It's something that's used in Asian cultures a lot, another term for it is wheat meat. It's essentially the protein that's in the gluten in wheat, and you can buy it prepackaged, as we often do, although lately we've been making it ourselves, and it's not that difficult to make yourself. And essentially, it's just kind of the gluten from the wheat, kind of all mixed up with some spices or whatever, cooked in like a veggie broth, and it forms kind of a, for lack of a better word, I guess, kind of a meaty texture. You can use that in a lot of different things with pasta, or in fact, I'm going to make a hash here this morning, and often I'll use seitan in that, although I won't do that this morning. Another thing, though, that I'd like to say about the whole protein question is that in a typical American diet, there is an extreme excess of protein. And if you look at, studies that have been done, and even the U.S. recommended daily allowances for protein. It's relatively low, you know, maybe 15-20% of your calories or something like that. I don't remember an exact number, but really, it's not a big issue as long as you're eating kind of a varied diet.
So what else is in the vegetable kingdom that you would be eating?
We eat a lot of different greens. There's kale, there's chard, there's spinach. I love spinach. Brown rice. You know, there's a lot of things that are really nutritious to eat that we love eating. So
yeah, grains, beans, nuts. We do eat a lot of rice, and we try to stay with more whole grains as much as we can.
So what's the importance? What's the difference, I guess, in terms of nutrition between the whole wheat pasta and the white pasta?
The whole grains generally have all of the nutrients still in them. How white pasta or white flour is created is essentially by stripping off a lot of the nutrients and then adding them back. And that's why if you look at the ingredient label on any pasta or white bread, you'll see that the word enriched. When they create that white flour, for example, a lot of the nutrients, in fact, most of the nutrients are stripped away. And then in order to make it even the slightest bit nutritious, they have to add that stuff back.
Mm-hmm. What's the advantage to not eating processed foods in terms of a health benefit?
Well, I don't know all the specifics about it, but I know that it's better to eat whole grains and, you know, the whole low-carb thing that's been going on now. The basis is that basically, if you have more whole grains, then you have more energy. It's kind of the way it works. And if you eat a lot of processed, like white sugar, white flour, and things like that, I think it can mess with your blood sugar levels.
But we should qualify this by saying that we're not nutritional experts. We just kind of, you know, we read things online and in books and magazines.
I have no background in biochemistry.
You know, so the general consensus, it seems, is that whole grains are better for you.
Mm-hmm. And is there any particular example that you can point to your own life in terms of how you feel different, I guess, 12 years on?
Health-wise, I can't really say that I feel so much better. I can say that I feel good. And I think that some people have probably a misconception that eating vegan is not healthy. And I'm here to tell you that it totally is because, you know, we've been doing this for a long time now. I'm a competitive cyclist. I'm riding and racing a lot, and, you know, doing fairly well with that. So, I can definitely vouch for the fact that it's certainly in no way unhealthy. And I think what I do feel better about is the fact that I'm not contributing to the suffering of animals on a massive scale.
But on your blog, for instance, though, you don't really hit that message hard, though. You're not pushing the message of the ethical concerns. Is there a reason why you've done that?
I think because we just started it out, and we just started out as this is what we eat. Because I have a lot of friends and other people who ask me. They say, "Well, what do you eat?" And I explain some of the things to them. And I think, you know, to myself, I think we have some really good food, and we just wanted to get it out there. And so, the main thing of our blog right now, and it could change, is just to show what we eat and show that we eat well, and hopefully some people will take some of our recipes and start using them. So I think that's the main thing. Or, you know, we get a lot of recipes from cookbooks too. So we try to promote cookbooks that we really like and think are great and, you know, really easy to use, and just kind of get people, you know, excited about it without, you know, there's no particular reason why we're not pushing the ethical issue. I think it's just we're just enjoying cooking and spreading it to other people, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to do what we know and keep the blog kind of focused. And we know how to cook fairly well. Neither of us have any special culinary training, but, you know, we've been doing this for a while, and that's just something we wanted to share. And there are also a lot of other sources for that kind of information, some of which we have linked to from our blog. Eric Marcus, whom I mentioned, has a lot of good information on his website, vegan.com. There's the Vegan Freaks, who have forums and a blog, and they do a podcast, and they cover a lot of those issues really well. So for us, we're just trying to do more of what we know, which is cooking, and kind of and share the message that way.
How difficult is this to prepare? I mean, I'm not a statistician or anything, but it seems these days that most people just either don't cook, or they don't really cook as much as they should, or they just purchase something off the shelf. Is it, if you're cooking with a lot of veggies, a lot of people are intimidated by that. Is it difficult?
I don't think it's difficult to prepare, but it does take time. And it takes some energy, especially if you want to go with more of a whole foods type diet. You know, you can't just come home and just put something in the microwave and be able to eat it. It requires a lot of chopping, a lot of preparation. So, but like I was saying before, there's so much convenience food that's available too, to where you can go vegan and also eat convenience food too, you know, and that's fine too. So,
one of the reasons why we wanted to start the blog is to kind of demonstrate that people to people that it's not really that difficult. If you like to cook and you're comfortable with cooking meals that are kind of meat-based, it's really not that different to cook vegan meals. You know, and there are, nowadays especially, there are so many sources out there for information. Even when we kind of started down this path 10 or 12 years ago, there were a fair number of vegetarian cookbooks out there, but very few vegan cookbooks, and the internet was still in its infancy. And now, just a few years later, there's a huge selection of vegan cookbooks available. There are all kinds of resources online, forums and websites with recipes, and there's just a lot more information now. And bloggers, there's tons of great vegan blogs.
On the blog, of course, you're very prolific. You have at least 5 or 6 entries a week. And have you had any interest from people who would be interested in having you cook for them at all?
No, we haven't heard anything. But if there's anyone that would like to taste some vegan food, we'd be very, very happy to cook. We love just having friends over for brunch and other things like that, and just, you know, cooking meals with a lot of, you know, non-vegetarian friends. And everyone seems to enjoy the food, so that's good. On the last note, one thing that I would suggest is if you do want to try and eat more vegan, just get a good cookbook. Get one, look through there, see if you like the recipe, see if you like what types of vegetables or whatever they put in there. And that's a really, really good way to start. And we use lots of cookbooks. We love cookbooks. So.
I think there may be a perception, too, that for vegan or vegetarian eating, you need to spend a lot of money at some place like Whole Foods or other natural food stores. And that's not necessarily the case. I think people who are vegetarian or vegan are also concerned about getting whole grains or eating organic and that sort of thing. And so by nature of that, may shop more at the specialty stores. But, you know, you can go to Food Lion, too, and get beans and rice and vegetables and at just kind of any mainstream grocery store. Exactly. There's plenty of perfectly acceptable options, too.
I think one of the reasons why we did the blog, too, is just to maybe connect with people who kind of have the same views. And one of the things I think that's changing, and which is really exciting to me, is I think it's becoming more acceptable to be vegetarian and more acceptable to be, you know, even vegan, too, so socially. So, and just to kind of reach out and see how many people there are out there that kind of feel the same way we do.
After our talk, Chris and Darlene agreed to fix me a vegan meal in their well-equipped kitchen. On the menu was a hash with mushrooms and spinach, tempeh bacon, and banana oat bundles.
So over here you have, I don't know what you have yet.
I've got some potatoes here, and just an onion and some mushrooms and spinach. I'm just going to dice the potatoes and fry those up. And then I've got some tempeh marinating.
Is that tofu?
That's tempeh, which is a soy protein. It's a fermented soy protein. So it's definitely not very much like tofu at all. It has kind of its own
texture
and flavor. Yeah, it has a much more firm texture than tofu. And it's fermented, so it's got a much different flavor. I actually started that marinating last night, but you could do it the same day and just let it marinate for an hour or so, and that'd be fine too. And the marinade is 3 tablespoons of Bragg's, which is available in any natural food store, but it's very similar to soy sauce, so you could use soy sauce as well if you can't find that. And then it's 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 2 tablespoons of cider vinegar, teaspoon of tomato paste, and 1/4 teaspoon of liquid smoke, and some crushed garlic.
So what's the next step here?
All right, well, I'm going to get the potatoes frying in there, and because they're not parboiled, they'll take a little while to cook, so I'll start those first. And once they're starting to get a little soft, then I'll throw in the rest of the vegetables, which in this case is just going to be some onions and garlic and spinach and mushrooms.
Do you cover that now?
I'm just going to let that go, and I'm going to throw a little salt in there. And a little fresh ground pepper.
While the potatoes cook, Chris chops the onions and other ingredients while Darlene prepares the mix for the banana oat bundles. After about 10 minutes of cooking, Chris gives us an update.
So I had my potatoes cooking in here, and they're starting to get a little bit soft. And I did pour just a little bit of water in there and then cover it briefly to kind of get them to, you know, to help them cook a little bit faster. And then I've just put in a medium onion that I diced up, and now I've added a handful of cremini mushrooms that I've sliced up. And, you know, typically, I think when you make something like this, you might start with parboiled potatoes, and in most recipes that you see, the onions start cooking first, and then you kind of throw in your other vegetables on top of that. But I just kind of get the potatoes and sort of fry them up and let them get a little soft, and then kind of mix in the other stuff, and it all kind of works out for me.
And then it's time to add the tempeh, which is cut from a rectangular block into long strips, much like bacon. It sizzles as Chris adds it to another frying pan, which has been heating up peanut oil.
You're adding the only other thing I'm going to add here. Again, you can go a lot of different directions with this. If you want more of a southwestern kind of thing, you can throw in some cumin and chili powder. If you want more of an Asian kind of thing, you could use shiitake mushrooms and a little sesame oil or a dash of soy sauce. So, you know, it's really pretty flexible. All I've seasoned this with so far is just salt and pepper, and I'm just going to add in a little bit of paprika, and that's maybe a half a teaspoon or so.
Mm-hmm. Not only have my hosts been gracious enough to cook me a delicious meal, they've also made me a vegan version of an Indian shake.
This is sort of like a vegan mango lassi, which is just frozen mango. It'd be a little better if you had fresh, but we don't happen to have a fresh mango on hand. And then just soy milk and a little lime juice.
After everything has been made, Chris serves up one plate to take a picture of it for the blog.
So now we have a lovely plate here, and of course, people will be able to see it on your blog, as well as on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network site. So, looks fantastic. Thank you very much, and let's try it here. And I'll just have a seat here, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to be rude here and just...
go right ahead.
Just, Oh, it's fantastic. And now I'm going to turn this off so I can eat. Excellent.
Brunch was delicious, and I'll be visiting the Eat Air blog in the coming weeks to plan meals for my vegetarian family. You can visit their site as well to get recipes for the hash with mushrooms and spinach, the tempeh bacon, and the banana oat bundles. They can be found at eatair.blogspot.com. This has been a conversation with bloggers on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. CPN is supported in part by the Daily Progress. Find out what's happening in Central Virginia today at dailyprogress.com. I'm Sean Tubbs. Thanks for listening.